How are you this morning? Good? I suppose you're wondering why I'm wearing this hat. I haven't worn this hat probably in a good, maybe 6-7 years. And if you look at it closely, it's kind of faded because it was sitting in the back of my car and the sun hit it, so the brown's kind of wearing off. It's kind of beat up and tattered. But I wore this hat because I want to know, is anybody offended by me wearing it? See, times have changed. There was a time, and in fact, I could tell you in my former congregation, there were often times when young boys would come in with baseball caps that a gentleman would just stand up and take the cap off the child and hand it to him and says, "You need to leave this off when you come in here." Well, that's a tradition. That is an understanding of respect. But it's my feeling that probably most kids who would be wearing a baseball cap into church today weren't doing it to be offensive or to be rude. They just were wearing it because they're comfortable with it. You might remember, not only maybe your mother teaching you, you take your hat off when you go in, you put it on when you go out. I know my mother, even if she were here, and she was here last week, she'd probably be asking me, "David, why are you wearing that horrendous hat? Take it off." But there was also a time back in the 50s and 60s when women wore hats in church. Do you remember that? How many of you wore a hat in church? All right, there's quite a few of you. I can remember my mom wearing hats, and of course, us kids, they looked like pillboxes. And, I mean, they were frilly and all these kinds of things, and I can remember we kind of snickered behind her back, you know, kind of teased about getting a pea shooter or something like that. This is a tradition. It is something that was established by individuals that says that you are respectful by taking your hat off inside and putting it back on when you are outside. For women, it was different. It was a covering that they wore in-house could wear it out of house as well. But who makes up these rules? And is this something that would be offensive to God? Well, that's something that, you know, we need to consider. Is there any place in the commandments that says thou must wear a hat or must not? Now, in the Jewish tradition, males do wear a head covering as a way of showing respect to God when they enter into the house of worship. It is a way of, again, it is a tradition. But there is nothing there that says that you must, and if you must do that, that people will be offended by these things that you do and therefore will say you are not worthy to worship or those kinds of things. Now, why do I mention this? It's because of what Jesus is confronting in today's gospel reading, where it is his disciples that are confronted by the Pharisees. Jesus follows the rituals of his forebears. But they're complaining about those that follow him because they are not washing their hands before they eat. And it was a part of their tradition to set them apart from the rest of society that they would do these things. And they had all kinds of rites and rituals in which they must follow in order to proclaim who they are. But it isn't something which God demands. Now, there are practical aspects to that. I think we all know that we should wash our hands before we eat, before we touch our face, all those kinds of things that we know about the passing on of germs and those things. So there is a practicality to that, but it is not something that is demanded. Though, you know, I know, again, using my mom as an example, she would be horrified if I sat down and started eating. "Did you wash your hands, David?" "Okay, Ma." But that's something that we do to just be clean. It is not something that we do to honor God. But it became that kind of a tradition where those things that become absorbed into the tradition then become kind of a part of who we are. It's like when you come to a Lutheran worship here at St. Luke's, you know you're going to expect two things. You're going to expect that you're going to hear the Word of God and that we're going to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Now, that's tradition. But I wonder how many of you understand why we do what we do, and that you are able to take it into your heart and express it in such a way that when you go from this place, realizing what has occurred on this day. Because there are things that get lost over time. Why do we follow worship the way that we do? Jesus is saying to the Pharisees that it's not the idea that you have to do these things, but it's how you place them in your heart. It's how you use them to separate yourself from others. It's how you live out your life. Because on the one hand, while you're saying yes, you're actually going this way. It's not making a connection. We proclaim it from the heart. There were ways for the Jews to be able to work around some of those commandments. For example, honor your father and mother was a commandment that was observed very deeply, as were all the other nine. But there were ways in which the children could get around that by faithfully giving of the temple. They made a loophole for them to not have to worry about supporting their parents. Well, we give to the temple, so we don't have to. So if there was a disagreement with parents, they could just leave them fend for themselves and still be considered worthy and upright because they were giving to the temple. The same kind of thing was done when in Jesus' time that a Jewish male could divorce his wife by decreeing three times, I divorce you. And recognizing the fact that by doing that alienates the spouse, the wife, basically giving her off to die. Because no honorable family would take her back in because she must have been at fault. She had no means of earning a living, would have to beg on the streets. And Jesus caught the teachers about that because it wasn't what was coming from the heart. It was all very selfish. It was what the male wanted. It was without any kind of understanding of what was being done to your partner, to your co-worker in God's creation. You see the disconnect. And we do it today. We have all kinds of things in which we begin to kind of have traditions of who we are as Americans or as Lutherans, or you can almost do it for anything. If you're a member of Rotary, if you're a member of some kind of order, you know, there are certain things you must do, and if you don't do them, then you're not part of the order. Now, that's understandable. You can make choices to do those things, but when it comes to society, when it comes to our faith, when it comes to what Jesus teaches us, It goes beyond what is tradition. For God's love through Jesus Christ encompasses all. We may want to label people as unacceptable or unworthy to be a part of our community for whatever reasons it may be. But the reality is what are we to do? Jesus teaches us that we are to love one another. We are to love one another. And yet we still make those exceptions. Well, surely he doesn't mean this person who has treated me this way, or this one who I just can't stand being around, or my boss who is just, you know, it's just so hard to work under. Surely he doesn't mean those people too. And I think Jesus would say, yes, it is. In fact, I know Jesus would tell us that. And that's what makes us uncomfortable, because what we try to do is we try to, you know, make those exceptions that it doesn't have to be this way, but we can do it this way. It doesn't have to, we don't have to abide by this because we can do this. How many of you want to quote to me from the scriptures the phrase, God helps those who help themselves? Where do you find it in scripture? Nowhere. And yet we quote it like that. In fact, there's several people that are given that said that this comes from. It's my understanding it came from Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin? How did we get Ben Franklin into our scriptures? But the problem is that we use that as if it is gospel, and we use it as a way of excusing ourselves from taking care of those who Jesus has called us to take care of. It's a way out. God helps those who help themselves. They're not helping themselves enough. So God's not going to help them. Now, there's nowhere in Scripture that it says that. In fact, if that were the case, all of us are really doomed. Because even when we strive to help ourselves, we fall flat on our face. God helps those. God helps all. It doesn't say that Jesus died just for you. It says Jesus died for all humankind. It doesn't say that God, through Jesus, only died for those who are righteous, because there's not one individual here who is without imperfection. Each of us have our own struggles, and thank God he's not fair. Thank God that he doesn't work by our rules, because there's no way in the world that I would ever win at a game of Monopoly with him. These are my rules. You've heard the story of God debating with three scientists on how, you know, the scientists were saying, we can make our own earth, we can make people. And God says, okay, I'll take the bet, let's do that. And so what the scientists start doing is that they start gathering up some earth, and God says, that's mine. See, we try to play by our rules, and it doesn't work. We try to justify things that work for us. You know, we'll bend the rules for ourselves. You know, we say we are a Christian nation, but we pride ourselves in freedom. But yet, when there are other people from other traditions that come into this country, just as we did, we begin to kind of twist those rules around and say, well, that was okay for us who are Christians, or at least we say we're Christians, as opposed to those. See how we make up our rules? Jesus is telling those around him, it's not what you take in. It's not by eating unclean things. It's not by certain traditions that you follow. It's by what comes out. It's by what you connect with your heart, because the heart was the center of Jesus' life. It was a belief that it was the center of all emotion and love and who we are as a whole person. And so what it is, it comes from the heart that we live. And even though I know I am far from being worthy of any of the things that God lays out for us, I strive. And I know I don't always succeed. I fail because I am human. And that's not an excuse. It's just that it's an impossibility to take those Ten Commandments and to take everything that God desires of us and to say, I can live it fully like this. And I often wonder about that rich young man who says he has done everything according to the law. What must he do? And Jesus knew what was in his heart. And so he walked away. I don't want to walk away, because I know my salvation. I know I want to be with God. I want to know God. I want to follow the way which Jesus has laid before me. And I know that God gives me that help through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he binds up the brokenhearted, that he makes us whole, not because we deserve it, but because he just loves us. It's as simple as that, and we have to make it into all this messy stuff about, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to be this. When it all comes down to it, it doesn't matter how you dress, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, doesn't matter where your standing is in life, because God accepts you for who you are. That's the reason for these dresses that we pastors wear. It's a way of covering up things that would make us different. Now, you would say, well, that dress makes you different. But the reality is that we all should be wearing our baptismal gowns, because in that, it covers up the imperfections. It covers up the things that make us different. It helps us to understand that we are all together in the same boat, undeserving of a loving and generous God, and a God who will accept us in spite of ourselves. So try not to let those traditions trip you up. Try not to get in way of yourself where you kind of fumble around and even there are people who cannot even love themselves because they see so many imperfections. And I just want to say, you know, God loves you. Who are you to say that you're more important than God, that you can't love yourself? Come and rejoice. Celebrate the fact that he has broken himself for you and feed you in a few moments with that little bit of bread and that little bit of wine, his body and blood of Christ. Come and be anointed with oil and be made whole, knowing that the Holy Spirit is within you. Come knowing that in the midst of all the things that are going on in your life, the brokenness and the broken relationships and the crippling effects of growing older and everything that just kind of consumes us, we are invited to come. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, all who are weary, all who are heavy of heart. Take upon you my yoke, for it is light. Because you know what? You're not carrying the yoke. It is God through Christ. It is God through Christ who lifts the yoke and leads us through. What wonderful words of love and grace we have today. God be with you. God bless you. May you find wholeness in his love. Amen.